so we can do the hearing.
Okay. Would you like us to sit here?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll send you. Is this the same as what you've already?
Yes, it's provided.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, could I say perhaps by way of introduction that first of all I want to apologise. Our chairman would like to have been here today, Murray Gilchrist. He was going to be at the date that was set, but with the change that occurred in terms of a different alternative date, unfortunately that just didn't suit. And also our Secretary of Treasury, Peter Chalmers, who would like to have been here, and unfortunately couldn't make it, so we do apologise
for that. Unfortunately, I'm
afraid. Sure. No, we accept that, not a problem. Perhaps I should just take a moment to introduce myself, so you know who I am. So I'm Murray Frost. I've been on the Lakeland Park Trust probably for 30 years plus, I'm not sure exactly how long. I was chairman from 1993 to 2016. In my professional life, I'm a consulting engineer. I work for Jacobs, based in Christchurch. But I used to live in McArdle, and the firm relocated me there 15 years or so ago. I've been a ratepayer in Queenstown for over 30 years, continuously, so I have the best of interest in the area. Jason Moss, who's with me, is a local. Works for Queenstown Engineering. His wife Lara teaches at the school in Franklin, and Jason's been on the trust with us for 3 years. Just by way of further introduction, all trustees work on a voluntary basis. So if we want to thank you for the opportunity of meeting with you this afternoon. It's important to us. I've taken the trouble to come down from Christchurch just to be here. But I realise that, you know, we're a very small fish in a very big process that you're going through at the moment, and you're dealing with lots of issues and lots of pressures. But we did want to just put our hands up and say we're at Lakeland Park, and we're seeking to advise what we believe to be very important service to the community, and we're passionately about that being protected and that continuing in the future. Now look, I'm not offended at all if you are willing just to accept our evidence as it's presented. It is the same as we've given before. We haven't altered it. So, if you accept that, I'm not here to waste your time or my time. I'm keen to get back on the road as well. But equally, we want to put our best foot forward and make the best presentation to you that we can. So, I'm not offended if you say it's taken as read.
We have read it already, and we visited the site.
Yes, that's right. I appreciate that.
Put the lock around.
Yes.
Really, what this gives us the opportunity is to ask any questions we might have.
Thank you.
Commissioner Crawford.
Mr. Frost, the future of the camp, I appreciate that reverse sensitivity has come about by virtue of the development that's occurred around you.
Sure.
Only likely to continue.
Sure.
What are the plans for the future of the camp?
Our plans are to continue as long as there's a demand for the services we offer. So we want to be there in perpetuity, if you understand that.
You don't want to make another move?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay, just a...
Well, I mean, that has been talked about, and as a young trustee, when I first joined the board, I proposed that. I got turned down flat by the older trustees. It is an excellent site. It is refreshing for all those who use the facilities to look out across the lake. It does something for people. And the response we get from people who stay there, they just can't believe such a beautiful place exists, and the environment itself creates that. So I'm not sure that there's too many spots around Queenstown that is as good as that, to be honest.
No, you've got a nice north-facing site, haven't you?
That's right.
Important
thing. Yeah. And it's good for people to recuperate, recharge, refresh, you know, go away, saying they've had a great break and been really good. So are there many other sites that we could find, that we could afford? That's the problem. So people talk about the value of the camp. In fact, I spoke with the Mees a couple of weeks back, and they thought we owned all the land. They thought we were sitting on such a valuable asset, but we aren't. We only own a strip of land, and the rest is Crown. Well, technically it's administered now by the Queenstown Lakes District Council. I'm not a lawyer, I'm a consulting engineer, but the history was it was Crown land, and the Crown changed the way they managed reserves and passed it across to the local territorial authority. So we are actually under the jurisdiction of the Queenstown Lakes District Council, as I understand it. But as I say, I'm a consulting engineer, not a lawyer. We were offered some years ago by Lands and Survey the opportunity to buy the land, and we seriously looked at that. But it was well beyond our means. And besides, we're not into building up assets. That's not our game. We're no interest in building up an asset. We want to provide for the people who need the facility. That's what it's about.
So what sort of security do you have?
We have...
And you can stay as long as you want to. You don't feel anxious about that?
That is a good question. It would be interesting to see. We have to trust the community that they will support us in the work that we're doing. We have a lease that goes through for about another 40 years or something like that, in terms of the Gazette notice that went through in 1957. But who knows what the future holds.
We were on site and we were able to discuss the complaints from the neighbours to the east and the west.
Yeah.
And of course there's nothing to the south. Building on what we learned from that, I've read your proposals for mitigation. All of them are difficult to achieve other than the non-complaints covenant, it seems to me, because to develop the land behind, whether it's low or medium density, it's going to bring more people to your back boundary.
Yes, I mean...
So please talk me through your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm an engineer, so nothing's impossible.
Just move the mountain.
Well, we can do that too. But, I mean, the road doesn't have to go in the line that was proposed. The road could be brought closer towards the camp boundary, so you have a natural break between the camp and the development. I mean, any good planning, this is my view, any good planning for a school or this sort of site, you'd have a zone around that transition from the camp to the development around it. And what's proposed is high density housing right up to our boundary. It just doesn't make any sense from our point of view. But there we go.
Well, no, that's a helpful discussion. What other things have you given?
Well, I mean, in Christchurch, it's very common that developers are required to build a button of 1.5 metres high or higher and get a sound barrier break between the highways, between the roads and the developments that they've got going on in their apartments. That's very common.
And with the position of the trees on your property, you couldn't do that on your side of the trees, could you?
Well, we could give up some of our land to do that, but why should we? It's not us that's doing the development.
Yeah.
But, you know, we don't want to be selfish either. But who knows what the future will unfold and what the dividends may or may not be. It won't be the Mees, it'll be the new owners that buy the land who will be complaining to the council about these noisy neighbours.
And when you spoke to the Mees, did you discuss things like in the event that they were to get it, to sell this land for low or medium density zoning, whether a no complaints covenant regime could be enacted in the transition in the handover of the land to the next owner?
That's a good question. It's been difficult to deal with the Mees. They're a fine family, but the father has And I'm not sure of his current health, but he has to be well.
No, he, we were told he wasn't well the other Monday, which is when they were here.
I'm sure he's, that's nice to hear that he's still with us. That's the way they've described it to me. And we've approached him over a period of time, just about this particular issue that we could work something out. He didn't really want to ever talk to us. Mrs. Mead has been determined that no development will take place in that lane while she's alive.
That's the senior Mrs. Mead.
Yes, yeah. And the son and the daughter don't really know what's going on, is what they tell us. And I believe them legitimately. So I think, and so who's been driving it? They had Noel Monish from Invercargill, had that, their company involved in doing the planning. I understand he's now no longer working for them, now they've got a lawyer. So it's just difficult to get it all nailed. Get it all sorted. The best way is for you to make a decision and put mitigating factors in the decisions and recommendations you make. That's the best way. I mean, we are talking about good planning, good sensible planning here, aren't we?
Oh yes, I'm just smiling away because I relate to what you say.
Oh, it's glad you think.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I just follow up on those mitigation suggestions you made? And I think you've made that. I'm glad you guys are engineers. We've talked technical stuff. You seem to have sort of put forward three suggestions. One is just straight setback. Another one is planting.
Yeah.
And the third one is the fund.
Yeah, and the alignment of the road, it doesn't necessarily...
Yeah, well, that goes with setback.
Well, why couldn't the road be pulled nearer towards the camp?
Yeah, well, it could, but I mean, okay, in terms of distance, my understanding is just if you're looking at a setback from distance, whether it's got a road or not, you need at least 40 or 50 metres. Much of a difference. And is there enough land on it? Is there enough land with you, think?
Yeah, good question. Our property that we own is further than a 595 Peninsula Road, so we're about half a kilometre. We can hear the camp.
There's a difference between hearing sound and the sound being induced.
Correct. I mean, where we are, it's no problem. Yeah. But sound does travel, and of course, it's in that little zone.
The transport agency, their standards for CSAX is 80 metres if it's.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's no other form of that. So yeah, we need quite a lot. I'm sort of wondering whether there's enough land on the near side to play with distances like that.
Well, what we would like to is if they didn't have any development at all on that side, we'd be happy to come to some sort of agreement on this side of the road. You had the road as the natural boundary. It makes a lot of sense to us.
Yeah, but a road's only 20 metres wide.
It is only 20 metres
wide. Okay, then turning to like the trees, again, you need a lot of trees. Not just a shelter job to cut down the road, you need, as I understand, three or four rows of densely planted trees to achieve sensible noise reduction. So I'm coming to the thought that maybe the bund is the best option. So I know what you mean, and we have them. I'm from Christchurch too, so you see them all the time along the, coming into Wellston, for example.
Yeah.
For example.
And then they've got a fence on the top as well.
Yeah, and what I understand for that, I mean, the fence itself has to be an acoustic, and there's a bump, but the whole thing depends on line of sight.
Well, this is the predicament.
And because of the difference in elevation, you know the site better than I do. Is that practical?
Well,
would you get that line of sight separation?
Well, unfortunately, it won't work because if we do all that, the neighbours will then complain that they can't see the lake. Mm. They can't, the view, they might even lose the view of their alignment.
Yeah.
It probably wouldn't be that bad, would it?
No, I wouldn't.
No. Depends where they build.
It's easier to build a flat land like we've got in Christchurch.
Yes, like this land does fall towards the camp.
Yeah. So whether the bank was on your side of the fence or on their side of the fence, is it?
Well, we would, anticipation, expectation would be that it would be on this side of the fence, so at the end of the road.
As I say, but it continues to rise beyond where the...
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So that would help the vision. but it's a very small section, 250 metres, 25.
Well, where you've got a line of sight, you're going to get annoyed. You're going to get annoyed.
Yeah. It's a hard one. It is a hard one. And that's what I.
So you put forward those three different ways of mitigating it. I'm just wondering how effective any of them are going to be.
That was the discussion.
Yeah, that was very short. Well, I mean, interestingly enough, I'm looking here. I can see the camp.
Yes.
Where I'm
yes.
And the land we're talking about. Do you get any complaints from the houses beyond that land? Because they're.
When you say beyond, which way?
Down below the road, or
no, up above.
Above.
No. Yeah. Which would be on.
On
you can see from here, they're quite clearly. You can see the line of trees and then the empty site. And
yeah.
There's a lot of houses which are on.
Jason says the answer is no. Jason is very.
Green Terrace.
Yeah. You speak.
No, the answer is no. We have no complaints from
here. Yeah. Big Garfield Terrace.
There are other neighbours behind the current managers to the east, and again. They are family and just their parties, etc. But
yeah.
The camp managers understand that they have families with all the bit of the process they have families. So, yeah. No, we haven't had any complaints from up the back.
Yeah.
No.
Do you operate within 7 hours? Do you have a little curfew for yourselves as well?
To be honest, we camps, you get all different types of camps in. Different competencies in terms of running the camp. Better camps are more organised than other camps, and so that there are times when we do get some camps in and our managers will go down and say something. But it's not that often, is it?
Part of our OSH safety briefing when people arrive is they do watch a DVD, and in that there is a curfew mentioned. Is it 10 or 11? It must be 10. So yes, and then the camp managers will enforce it if they have to.
People are still going to be moving around the site and shouting to each other. You can't stop. I'm just wondering how much you're doing yourselves. I don't think there's ever been complaints. I don't think we've ever had an officer from the council turn up. It's never been that bad.
No.
And I think we've got a good relationship with our neighbours. We try to be good neighbours. And so, you know, there are some people who want cheap trees dropped down over the years, so we drop those trees down, on, you know, on the base, because it's blocking their view or whatever. And but at the start, when we started there, we had to plant the trees because it was such a wind-swept site. So we had to get some protection. All our tents used to get blown over.
And in terms of the frequency of use, I remember we discussed this when we were on site, Mr. Chair. It's pretty full on, isn't it? Most of the year.
Very busy.
Have you got, would it be easier to ask you when you're not busy?
I don't think we ever have a not busy
period. But it's steady all year.
It's all year round. Yeah.
Traditionally, winter quieting down, but as the schedules have become more and more with the need, essentially, with accommodation. That would go for all the Queenstown too. It's a more constant versus the peaks and troughs we used to have.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Warren. Well, thank you. Thank you for taking the time to hear us and giving us the opportunity to present our point of view, and we can only trust the process of whatever the outcome is, and we're very happy to answer any further questions if you really are seriously looking at mitigation. We'd love you to be able to help us work with the bees to come to some common understanding in terms of what would be good planning and in the interest of the community in the longer term, because if we don't, then we'll just set it up for a failure. Okay, so thank you.